if I can walk away. If not, I'll go back. Can you hear me?
No, okay, I'll go back, okay. All right, I'll stay here, it's okay. We'll work it out. Well, this is appropriate, actually. This is probably divine order, because I wanted to begin today with a story about a minister who always started each service with the words, the phrase, "The Lord be with you." And automatically, all of his congregants would respond. I bet you would know the response. "And also with you." That's exactly right. However, one Sunday, now this never happens in real life, but one Sunday, the sound system wasn't working very well. And the pastor stepped up to the pulpit and said, "There's something wrong with this microphone." And all the congregation in unison said, "And also with you." Now, I just want to be very clear. In my case, I'm sure it's the battery or some other thing. I don't know what it is. But isn't it true that in our human consciousness, too often, we dwell on what we perceive is wrong with one another or with ourselves? I need to turn this one off, right? Okay, I can do that. Okay. In the words of Parker Palmer, "No punishment anyone might inflict on us could possibly be worse than the punishment we inflict upon ourselves by conspiring in our own diminishment." And in the midst of the trials and tribulations of this life, how easy it is for us to forget our true identity, that we are spiritual beings created in the image and likeness of God. And as we read today, God is spirit, and each one of us is an individualized expression of the divine. We are on this earth to recognize, realize, and be the expression of God. And as Charles Fillmore wrote in Talks on Truth, probably one of my favorite quotes by him, "It is your mission to express all that you can imagine God to be. Let this be your standard of achievement. Never lower it. Never allow yourself to be belittled by the cry of sacrilege. You can attain to everything that you can imagine. If you imagine that it is possible to God, it is also possible to you. This is the law. Let none belittle the human self or dwarf the supreme by trying to annul it." Now, recently, a couple weeks ago, we engaged in the White Stone Ceremony, where we were guided to claim a new name for ourselves, one that aligns with our divine identity. And many of us found that to be, and always find that to be, a powerful ritual. However, sometimes we have to admit, in our human skins, it's easier to create the vision than to bring it to fruition. Anybody notice that? I mean, we have good intentions, but sometimes it's hard. Last Wednesday evening, I was driving along Highway 109 to church for a planning and board meeting. And I was on time, and everything was going just great. And as I rounded a curve, I realized that the entire highway was closed. There was a police officer there directing traffic off to a road that I really didn't know very well. So I put my window down and I asked the officer if that road looped back to 109. And she said, "Oh yes, just follow the signs." Well, guess what? There weren't any signs. Now the point is, I knew exactly where I wanted to go, but I didn't know how to get there from where I was. Does that sound familiar sometimes? We know our vision, but getting there is a little harder. And thank heaven for my Navigator app, I got there. But likewise, I think some of us had a clear vision about what to write on our stone, but a less clear sense of direction about how to get there. So I thought today it would be a good time for us to hold our new identity, our personal spiritual vision in heart and mind, and explore some possible ways to get there. And the first one is from the Sermon on the Mount. And this is wonderful advice no matter what your personal vision is. Jesus tells us, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Now, righteousness means right thinking, thinking aligned with divine truths. "And then all these things," meaning all our earthly needs and desires, "will be given to you. Bible scholar Ed Townley says, seeking first the kingdom is the heart of Jesus' entire message. It means that our purpose as spiritual beings sharing this human experience is to create moment by moment, thought by thought, choice by choice, the consciousness that Jesus called the kingdom of heaven. Too often we think that we have to solve all of our human challenges first in order to turn to the divine, to have time to do that. And the exact opposite is true. When we are awake to our indwelling Christ, then we realize we have infinite resources to fully embrace our human experience. Through the Christ, we already have every single thing we need. And that night on that detour, for miles, I just automatically followed all the cars in front of me like a lemming, thinking that they would lead me back to the right road. And you know what? That worked for a while. But all of a sudden, we came to a dead end. And some of the cars were going right, and some of the cars were going left, and I had to make a decision. And so only then, it's amazing, only then did it occur to me to grab my phone and turn on my navigator app and find out which way to turn. And likewise, I think in terms of living our vision, we need to remember that Spirit is our navigator, our guide. And Jesus is telling us here to turn to our divine navigator first. And the second idea comes from Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, a very popular book. Habit number two is begin with the end in mind. In Proverbs 29:18, we read, without vision, the people perish. Now, metaphysically, vision represents not our regular human vision, but spiritual vision, aligning our thoughts, our choices, and our actions with spiritual truth. In other words, spiritual ends. And in the words of the great philosopher Forrest Gump, if you don't know where you're going, you probably won't end up there. And so to realize our vision, we have to keep our focus on it all the time. We have to use our power of imagination to visualize the results in our lives. And really, we need to ask ourselves, how will my life be different when, notice I didn't say if, but when I live my vision, my dream, my new identity? For some of us, the names we wrote on our white stones were probably pretty general. Maybe words like oneness or unlimited or peace. And let's just take peace as an example. If I had peace as my intention, as my vision, I might ask myself, and be specific here with myself, in what areas of my life do I want to be more peaceful? Driving down the highway on the way to work? When I'm stuck in a traffic jam? Maybe interacting with coworkers during the day, dealing with specific family members when I come home at night. I had a really good friend who was a youth counselor who always said, our family members are so good at pushing our buttons because they are the ones who install them. And that's true. But if peace is my identity, if that's what I want to be, then, and that's my end in mind, I could create some denials and affirmations. Maybe something like, I deny anyone or anything the power to take away my peace. I am divine peace. And when we focus on what we want to be, not what we want to do first, but what we want to be, insights and infinite opportunities present themselves as gifts from the universe. And next, with the end in mind, we can translate our vision into a daily intention. Eric Butterworth said, waking up in the morning and saying, oh, I wonder what this day will bring me, is just like going out to your car and saying, I wonder where this car will take me, right? It's not helpful. We need to claim the power to decide where we're going. And because every morning when you wake up, it's another chance to get it right, to live your vision, to change your life. And it's no wonder why so many recovery programs adopt the one day at a time strategy, just for this day. because setting an intention just for this day makes it more manageable than setting an intention for the rest of your life. And that daily intent helps us release the past, suspend worry about the future, and concentrate on how we want to show up this present day. One morning, just a few days before Christmas, way too close to Christmas, I woke up feeling a little stressed because I had all this Christmas shopping left to do. My list was long and my time was short. So after prayer and meditation, it came to me, okay, today I set the intention to be peace, no matter how crowded the mall is. So setting that intention, it was really an amazing thing. It helped me shift my focus away from worrying about what gifts I would buy and just in all the outcome. I just suspended the outcome. And here's what happened. I drove to the mall. I found a parking spot immediately and helpful sales assistants to help me all morning long. Everything on my list was on sale, and my coupons worked, even at Macy's. Yay! So ego is nothing more than personal consciousness, our human selves. Ego says, once everything falls into place, I'll find peace. But spirit says, find your peace and then everything will fall into place. And here's the beautiful thing. When we live from our spiritual identity, when we express our spiritual gifts, it's not just us who benefits, but everyone benefits. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, to each is given the manifestation of spirit for the common good. And that morning at the mall, centered in spiritual peace, I actually interacted with store employees and fellow shoppers differently. And just one example, I stood in this long line and I couldn't imagine what was holding it up. And when I got closer to the checkout place, I realized that a sales attendant was being absolutely harassed by a shopper. I mean, this woman was really rude, hostile, and nasty. I felt so sorry for the sales person. And finally, when it was finally my turn, she finally got rid of her, it was my turn, her hands were shaking as she rang up my purchase, and she said to me, I'm so sorry for your long wait. I know you've been standing in line forever. And you know, the words just came to me, just came through me. I said to her, oh, don't worry. Thank you for your service. I am picturing the rest of your day to go perfectly, and everybody you meet will appreciate you. And she looked at me with tears in her eyes, and she said, you will never know how much that means to me. Thank you. So that's what happens. When we are peace, we spread our peace to other people. And when we are love, when we are joy, whatever your vision is, it works. And also, when we are focused on an intention, we are more likely throughout the day to pay attention to our thoughts and actions, to discern whether or not they are aligned with who we have chosen to be. I have some periods of my life actually set my phone for like various times during the day as a reminder to check in. Okay, am I being peace now? A few hours later, how am I doing now? You know, to just keep myself on track. And Ellen Davenport recently wrote, I wish there were an easier way, but I'm increasingly convinced that spiritual growth is largely a matter of dragging our thoughts out of the muck again and again, over and over, to focus on something brighter, to focus on something true. Eventually, new pathways in our brains make it a natural response. On Pinterest this week, I saw this. I found a book entitled, How to Be Amazing at Anything. It had only a single page inside with just one word long, practice. And isn't that true? And yet, practice may not always make perfect, but practice makes progress toward our innate perfection. In truth, we are intended to make full use of all of our spiritual gifts, including all 12 of our powers. But I believe as we set forth to try to live our vision, two powers are particularly important, and those are the powers of faith and strength. Faith, as you know, is our power to believe in possibilities of things we cannot see. Charles Fillmore wrote, "Faith is a magnetic power. It draws our heart's desire to us from the invisible spiritual substance." And Peter, the first disciple called, is the represents faith. And Peter had a brother. Peter's brother was Andrew. Andrew represents strength. Strength is that power that gives us the ability to endure, stay the course, be persistent, and persevere. And those combined brotherly powers of faith and strength give us undaunting courage to continue pursuing our vision no matter what challenges show up. In an article I just recently found called The Power of Everyday Vision by Bernadette Swanson, she highlights ways in which Myrtle and Charles Fillmore use their powers of faith and strength to stay the course in founding the Unity Movement. And here's what she writes. At the beginning of their work, when more and more time was being devoted to their spiritual goals, money was tight. Later, Charles would comment, "Encouraged by my wife, I persevered when almost at the point of failure. And if there comes any universal success out of this continued effort, she would have to have the greater share of credit. Had I been alone, Charles said, I would more than once have thrown the whole thing over and gone back to my real estate business. And aren't we glad he didn't, right? And Swanson makes the point that this story not only shows the power of having faith and strength, but it also shows us that we don't have to walk the path alone, that there are other souls on the path, and it's okay to seek encouragement from them occasionally, just as we give encouragement to others. And that's what a spiritual family means. That's what we do at First Unity for one another. And as we come together in unity and spirit, we can affirm Myrtle Fillmore's words in her piece entitled, My Faith. I was hoping this was going to be readable, but I'm not so sure it is. But if you can see it, maybe those of you at the front, let's read it together. If not, I'll read it for us, if you can see it. I do not believe in evil. I believe in good. I do not believe in sin. I believe in truth. I do not believe in death. I believe in life. I do not believe in ignorance. I believe in intelligence. There are no discords in my being. Being is peace. My faith, understanding, and love are becoming one. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Isn't that a beautiful testimony to strength and faith from Myrtle? And the final idea today is about something we've talked about many times. It's about the power of gratitude. Gratitude is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. When our hearts are full of gratitude, we cleanse our filters and make the connection with what is true with a capital T. Thanksgiving is an affirmation of goodness, an awareness of godness. And it is the soul's recognition of our oneness in the divine flow. Jesus demonstrated faith-filled upfront thanks again and again, before prayer, before healings, before miracles. And one of the most memorable, that we've talked about before, is the story of the feeding of the 5,000, recorded in all four Gospels. You will remember that the disciples, in typical human consciousness, thought that the meager supply they had would not feed the people. They advised Jesus to send the people away to get food, saying to him, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. But what does Jesus do? You all know. He takes what's available, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, looks up to heaven, representing rising to higher consciousness, and gives thanks for what is there. So Jesus looks beyond all appearances of lack, sees another reality, and the 5,000 are fed with basketfuls left over. I read a story the other day about this darling little boy who had this special blessing at mealtimes. His family had the practice of always bowing their heads together and repeating the table blessing out loud, ending with, "Thank you for our daily bread." But little Johnny would always open his eyes at that point, look around at the table, and say, "And thank you for the chicken and the carrots and the broccoli and the salt and the pepper and the milk." And don't you think Jesus would approve of that kind of thank you? Thank you for every little detail you have. And how does that relate to living our vision? Well, Ellen Davenport, in a recent blog called Living Your Theme, which is exactly the same thing as Living Your Vision, talks about the power of being grateful for what you already have, even if you have some things you'd like to change. And she writes, you can love that little apartment you're in, even if you're dreaming of a bigger house. You can bless the job you have, even as you look for a better one. This is especially important, she says, when you are working on your own growth. You don't have to disparage yourself in order to change. It actually works better if you bless exactly who you are now, knowing that every year you've lived has brought you to the point, to this point, to set you up, for success in the future. Everything you've done and everything you've been has led you here to your vision right now. So let's all remember that no matter what our vision is, no matter what our dreams and goals are for 2017, we have every single thing we need to realize them. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, I can do all this, everything, through Christ who gives me strength. We are powerful beyond measure. And we are here to let our light shine. And so as we go forth in the days and weeks and months ahead to live our individual visions of divine identity, let us remember the compelling words of Marianne Williamson in her piece, Our Deepest Fear. And I know you can't really see these words. I'm going to post this on our Facebook page. So if you haven't seen it, if you want a copy of it, it will be there. And if you're not on Facebook or not on the internet, just shoot me an email and I'll send you a copy. She says, just take these words into your heart. She says, it is not light. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And so as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And so it is, and so we joyously allow it to be, as we prepare for our time of prayer and meditation. And part of our prayer and meditation today will be brought to you by Silent Unity. I hope you all have found the YouPray app. If you have a smartphone and you haven't downloaded this, you need to do so. January's is absolutely beautiful, so I'm going to be using it for part of our meditation today. And so as we prepare for that, let us affirm the truth about our God, that there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in our lives, God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in our lives, God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.